At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Everybody, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Bastards of Boston Baseball. Joining me tonight is Charlie Smith from Los Angeles, California, by way of Providence, Rhode Island, and Terry Cushman out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine. Gentlemen, how are you doing tonight, and where can the fans find you on Twitter/X?
Doing great, no complaints. For those that want to chirp me on Twitter, that's Smith_MLB. T?
I can be found at CushmanMLB. The podcast account can be found at Bastards_Boston. And you can find me on Facebook at Terry Talks Sox.
That is not an easy handle to say. But let's get right into it. So on tonight's show, we are going to do a fun game we like to play called Totally Legit or Calling the Cops. For those that might be listening to this show as their first introduction to the podcast, this is where we go through some takes or some scenarios that we like to play out and we think, are they totally legit or something that we're going to call the cops on and, you know, we think that might not necessarily happen. The first one we got tonight is, will the Red Sox finish April below 500? Charlie, is this totally legit to you or are you calling the cops?
Oh man, this is hard because, I mean, you're four games up right now before you have a pretty lethal series against Pittsburgh for three. You're facing Cleveland for seven. I don't think we're going to do great against Baltimore. Collectively, so I think we'll only have a three-game lead above 500. I'm gonna say there's a chance that they can stay barely above 500, maybe a game. So I think it's legit that they could be at 500. I know that a lot of people think that we're the negative guys, we want this team to fail. It's not true. We really don't. We want this team to succeed. And from what I've seen so far, I don't think that April's going to be the month that we really have a rough, rough time. There are some scheduling bits. If you look at the Red Sox and the teams that they're facing, and you just wish that that whole month got deleted. So Red Sox finished below 500 for the month of April. I'm going to call the cops and say that it is legit that it could happen. Terry.
I am going to say that that's totally legit. I don't think the Red Sox will have a winning record at the end of April. I didn't say the full word. Doesn't count. The Guardians are leading their division right now. They're 7-2. They're off to a great start. I don't know what to expect. I don't know if that's sustainable. That was one of those divisions we all struggled with when it came to picking a winner. But we'll see. We do face them twice for a total of seven games, like Charlie said. Pirates are red hot. The Angels, we're already going to be playing them again right after this Orioles series. We will face Patrick Sandoval this time around and probably Tyler Anderson. So we're catching the better part of their pitching staff. So I don't think that's necessarily going to be a cupcake series for the Red Sox. And we got the Cubs at the end of the month. So I don't think this is favorable for us. I think the offense is going to continue to struggle. Maybe they'll be scrappy and find creative ways to win games, but I just don't like the way the rotation and the lineup is situated right now. So I think it's very possible we're gonna have a tough month. If the Orioles sweep us, let's just say that it's hard to imagine Nick Pivetta losing game two, but man, if that happens, that sets the tone for the rest of the month. And I don't know. I'm not a believer in this team.
Terry is definitely a see it to believe it kind of guy, huh?
I have to see it. That's a perfect analogy.
For me, I'm going to unfortunately say that this is totally legit. Going into the beginning of the season, I know I'm the resident positivity guy too, right? I said I was going to leave all the negativity in the off season. I flushed it out of my system. I went on my couple of rants and, you know, the baseball season came around. I was ready to be positive. Looking at this monthly schedule at the beginning of the season, you're like, great, we're getting a lot of central teams in here, right? We're getting the Pirates, we're getting the Guardians, we're getting the Cubs. You mix in some Angels, you mix in some Athletics. This is going to be great. This is the type of month that we would need to get off on the right foot to, you know, set the tone for the season. But, you know, the Pirates are division leaders. The Cubs are right there. The Guardians, we know, are going to be a tough out no matter when you play them. And it's like, well, come on. You know, why did we get them at the beginning of the season when they're hot? When, you know, you could get them maybe towards the end of the season, they've returned to earth. A team that we've talked about at length, the Giants, having a wonderful offseason, we figured, hey, they might be, you know, a team that could challenge the Dodgers out west for that divisional crown. They're one of the few teams that are struggling. And so, you know, getting these teams early in the season when they're still playing good ball, when they've got the momentum carried over from spring training, I think is going to be a little bit difficult for the Sox to overcome. Granted, we have, you know, this four-game cushion on the 500 mark. We had a great West Coast trip. This team has continued to surprise me, but, you know, I think we might be one of those early season feel-good stories, and we kind of come back to earth and finish the month right around 500. Charlie has his hand up. What do you got there, bud?
All right, so I'm the man on Lonely Island here. It's 1-2. I just want to kind of go over the rest of the month. It was 500, including what's already happened. We have Baltimore, where two of the three of us think we're going to go 1-2. And one that thinks we're going to go 2-1. So let's assume we go 1-2 for Baltimore. We're -1. We take 2 out of 3 against the Angels again. We're split, even again. Back to 500, cancels out. Cleveland, the 4-game series, I think we split. I think we take 2, we lose 2. Pittsburgh, we lose 2, we win 1. So now we're -1. Cleveland series, 3-game set. I think we have a chance to win 2 out of 3 back to even slate. So we're still 4 games over 500 at that point. Then you got Chicago and San Francisco. You need to lose all 4 of those games. And even with all that math, you'd be tied. So that means with everything that I just said, you would need to flip one of those numbers in order to be under 500. And I'm a numbers guy. It would take a lot. The Red Sox would have to implode for an entire series. I mean, they'd have to lose all 3 against Pittsburgh, lose 3 out of 4 against Cleveland, and then things get a little bit shaky. Baltimore, LA still split. Cleveland, 2-2, Pittsburgh, you go 2-5. You're still only 1 game over 500. I think there's a chance that the Red Sox could surprise us. Take 2 out of 3 against Cleveland. You lose 2 out of 3 against Chicago. That cancels out. You win or you lose the San Francisco game, you're either 1 game above 500 or you're at 500. I really think that worst case scenario, this team will be 500.
It's a great point, and the math definitely supports it. You know, a thing that's definitely putting some wind into our sails as well is we get a lot of these games at home, right? We're off the road. We had that long West Coast road trip already out of the season. Or out of the system for the season, excuse me. But we got to see it at home, right? We got to see right. this rotation continue to do it. It's been an unbelievable start to the season, right? You mentioned it on the last episode. Two times through, the rotations looked great. But we haven't really played the offenses to really, you know, kind of put them to the test, right? The Orioles are coming to town. They're going to give us a test. We see the Angels again, whatever. But, you know, the Pirates have been hitting the ball well. The Guardians are always, you know, good to knock us around a bit. What do you got there?
So the other thing that I want to add is that as far as Chicago is concerned, one of their big guns is not pitching right now. Steele is out. He's injured. So you're not facing their ace of their staff. He's not going to be back this month. As far as Pittsburgh, I love Pittsburgh, but if we get lucky and we get Martin Perez in one of those three games, we've already seen what he can do and what even more importantly, what he can't do. Martin Perez is not someone you can count on a consistent basis. He just doesn't have it. He should have stuck to his music career. What else do you want to know? I love O'Neill Cruz from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pittsburgh is one of my deep sleep picks. You guys were there on the show. I got a couple of, whoa, Pittsburgh really for a wild card team. If O'Neill Cruz slumps, which he has been known to do at different points of his career, there's a chance that you could get surprised with Pittsburgh. So I mean, the Red Sox could be Cinderella the month of April. That's all I'm going to say.
I still think we're going to suck.
That's what I love about you, T, is I look forward to the end of April being able to either say, damn, you were right and I'm sad, or damn, I was right and I want my damn apology.
We're gonna be under 500 because Tyler O'Neill is going to go on the injured list in the second game of the Pirates series.
That's not funny. Tyler O'Neill's going to run this league into the ground with his bat. It's insane. Every single time he swings, it's beautiful. Anywho, I'll shut up now.
You guys just served up a perfect segue to our next totally legit or calling the cops. The second one we got for tonight is Tyler O'Neill finishes the month of April as the team leader in home runs. I'm going to kick it over to Charlie, but I think we all know where this is going.
You guys should all be sitting the heck down. Tyler O'Neill is tied for the major league lead with 5 home runs with former Red Sox, well above average star Mookie Betts. They each have 5 home runs. Tyler O'Neill has absolute cannons for arms. I don't even know if his arms go all the way down pointing south. The guy is thick. He's got power. He's trying to prove himself. He's leading Major League Baseball in several offensive categories. I absolutely think this is legit. And I'll double down and say, not only will he lead the month of April, but I think there's a good possibility that Tyler O'Neill, who will not be spending a majority of time on the injured list, Terry, could lead the team with home runs by the end of 2024.
Terry, the rebuttal is yours.
I'm doing some math on the fly right now. So let's see, 10-game homestand, then we wrap the month with 4 more. So that's 14 games at home with that monster. And only 6 on the road. So lots of home games for your only real right-handed power threat right now. That's favorable, I would say, for him. So I'll say it's totally legit. The one guy that could sneak past him, though, I think is Tristan Casas. Like, he's heating up. Like, we're waiting for the volcano to erupt at this point. But his trajectory is up after a pretty good series here against the Angels. So, we'll see. But I'll say totally legit for O'Neill in the month of April.
Can I just say, though, that his swing is tailor-made for Fenway Park and that monster? I mean, let's be honest. Dude, this guy hits absolute moonshots. I'm shocked that they haven't, like, declared the airspace around Fenway Park no-fly zone if he's at the dish. This guy is going to hit rockets. He's been hitting home runs all around the park. He had... In Seattle, he hit one to left, 364 feet. In, another game, right center field, 400 feet. And then let's see, against the Angels, I got to pull it up because I got to see the dimensions or the distance for all of his home runs. The guy has 400 plus power, like he or 400 foot power. He's not going to be hitting like rinky dink home runs like Mookie Betts is doing. They're barely getting over the fence for him. When he hits it, they're being launched. I mean, pitchers don't even have to look to see if it's going to get caught. You know it's gone. So I honestly think he's going to be at double digits quicker than anybody else. And honestly, I think that Tyler Neal will be the first player. I think there's a chance that he could be the first American leaguer with 10.
Do you think there's a chance that he gets pull happy in Fenway and it ends up torpedoing his swing slash power?
It's a really good question. I don't know. But if he's continuing to do what he's doing right now where he doesn't change anything and he's just sticking with it, we've had three series so far. In two of those three series, he's gone 4 for 10. He's hitting 400 in two series each. And he's had moonshots in each one of those series. He's doing his job. I think he's just going to keep doing what he's doing, not change anything. And if he, as long as he does that, dude, I mean, he's going to have three home runs in the next 5-6 games. He's definitely going to have one in the series. Definitely.
I agree. I mean, I think he needs to stay within himself. The way he's hitting the ball all over the yard is definitely beneficial, right? The oldest adage in baseball is when he's going the other way, he's hitting it well, right? That's what they say about any batter. If he's hitting the ball to the opposite field, he's doing something right. And I think if O'Neill continues to do that, it's going to be totally legit that he leads the team in home runs by the end of the month. He's got a 3-home run lead on Devers, on McGuire at this point. Dark horse David Hamilton has homered in every game he's played. So, you know, put some respect on that guy's name. But I don't think anybody's going to be catching up to O'Neill. Like you guys mentioned, that left field fence gets real close for the right-handed bats. He hits the ball into space. You know, some of these lazy flies to left in Oakland might, you know, creep into the first row of the monster. I like O'Neill to continue the home run barrage. Any other notes that you guys wanted to add?
Wouldn't it be epic if Duran ends up being the guy? I'm just saying, it probably won't, especially where he's a lefty, but
7 in the park home runs.
You know, I was talking to my Twitter BFF Kayla, and I asked her, I said, how come an inside the park home run isn't called a quadruple? You hit doubles and triples. I mean, it's a quadruple in my opinion, but we'll see. They count. So I don't know. I'm just a big Duran guy. I've stayed off him the last couple episodes because I could talk about him.
Has he gotten an inside the park home run yet as a member of the Red Sox?
He's given up one, thanks to that.
We know about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the historical game against the Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah. And, oh my God, his name is escaping me, but the guy that hit it ended up becoming a member of the Red Sox.
Romeo Tapia.
Yeah, Romeo Tapia. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Him.
He was, we were all stoked when we signed him, by the way. We're like, oh, this guy's the Barry Bonds of Fenway.
Yeah, seriously.
All righty. The third one that we got for tonight. This is kind of a fun one, a looking forward one. We've talked about the prospects a bunch, especially between the Hein Bloom-led organization and now the Craig Breslow era. So with that being said, does one of Teal, Mayer, or Anthony get called up this year for meaningful playing time? And we're defining meaningful as it affects their service time clock. Charlie, do you think this is totally legit or are you calling the cops?
I don't think any of them are going to be making an appearance in 2024. I really don't. I think they're going to begin it in 2025. If it's going to be any playing time, it will be meaningless playing time, but nothing to start the clock right now. They won't do it. Major League Baseball has 30 businesses running underneath its corporation. There is only one reason why Jackson Holliday is not playing for the Baltimore Orioles right now. And anyone who has an ounce of understanding of Major League Baseball knows exactly why he's not here. The three guys that we have, as good as they are not Jackson Holliday today. And Jackson Holliday is not here yet. So no, it is not happening. zero playing time. To answer that question, is it totally legit that any of these guys are going to be here? No. Calling the cops, they're not coming.
Terry.
I'm also going to call the cops. I think Anthony could be ready. He could be an option if they wanted him to be, but your outfield is pretty well in order right now. I mean, O'Neill's hitting pretty good. So is Jaron Duran. I think Rob Ref Snyder could, you know, provide some balance. So I don't think Anthony will be up. There won't be a necessity for it. Kyle Teal, I just don't think it makes sense if you're not winning. And everybody loves what Reese McGuire is doing right now. And I still think Connor Wong will be adequate in his new role as a backup catcher. So I think you're okay there, you know, and there's not a lot of urgency, you know, if you're not going to contend. You would look to Teal to perhaps provide some spark. I don't know that they're going to go there. And he'd have to learn how to work with the pitching staff, which is a whole nother thing to tackle. So that doesn't make sense. The one guy it could make sense for is Marcelo Meyer, given how bad you are up the middle defensively and offensively. So it could make a little bit of sense there. However, he's the least performing of the three of them right now due to injuries. Like, he is just not in any type of groove, not in any type of rhythm. He would have to tear the cover off the ball to make a case to be called up, and I just don't see it. So I have to call the cops.
We're going to go 3 for 3 on calling the cops. I think a scenario has already unfolded in which could lead to one of them being called up, which would be an injury, such as the one to Trevor Story, to kind of get Meyer in the mix. But I think this service time situation is just too stringent for owners at this point in time. They like to play that game. They like to play puppet master. They don't want to start the clock when they don't have to. And Meyer just hasn't gotten the reps at the minor league level to where they feel comfortable to bringing him up. And the other scenario in which they would get meaningful playing time is, you know, the rosters expand. We're in the hunt. We can bring, you know, prospects in for that playoff push. But I don't think that would be meaningful enough to affect the service time counterclock. So I, as well, will call the cops. And, you know, there just isn't really a path of necessity at this point, right? You know, we have some opportunities to do some shuffling around, maybe pick up a free agent or a trade to fill the Story gap, or remove Rafaela to short, and we do some outfield shuffling. Catcher is pretty well covered, as Terry mentioned. So there just really isn't, I guess, like an opening or a need to start the clock on these guys. So for that, I'm going to call the cops. Terry, back to you.
One guy who could be called up just as a flyer type situation is Nick York. I mean, you're not really worried about his clock. And if he were to simply go on a hot streak in, you know, second base just isn't panning out for one reason or another, offensively, defensively, I could see them giving him a chance. I mean, if you look back to a couple of guys, Brock Holt made the most of it. Travis Shaw had some big moments in Boston before being traded to the Brewers. So perhaps that could be the avenue Nick York comes up. As far as, being a long-term guy, it just doesn't. But Jaron Duran, I mean, you know, at that point where Nick York is at, I mean, he was just kind of, you know, someone we didn't really view as having a future, and look what he's doing. So who knows, but it won't be the big three, like we said.
But something to be excited about for the future, right?
Possibly.
All righty. The last one we have for you all tonight, rounding out the segment of Totally Legit or Calling the Cops, is, are the 2024 New York Yankees going to win the division? Charlie, what do you think?
No, no, and definitely not. Giancarlo Stanton, if he's lucky, will finish out this season hitting above 200 with maybe 20 home runs if he can actually play in 100 games, which we don't even think is possible. Gerrit Cole isn't back yet, and we're still not sure how much time he's going to be missing. In addition to the rehab time, if he doesn't opt to have surgery, if he's out, there's zero chance that they're even going to come remotely close. I don't know if the Yankees realize how screwed they are, because the additional starting pitchers that they have are doing a little bit better than anticipated, but Juan Soto isn't lighting up the Christmas tree like Tyler O'Neill has. And he's got the beauty and benefit of right field at Yankee Stadium. I haven't looked to see how many games the Yankees have played at home. Have they had three or four games at home already? I honestly don't know. I thought they had three or four. Yeah, they've had three games. So, I mean, here's the thing. They got him there, and they expect him to absolutely mash at home. And so far, I'm just going to say, you know, in those three games, I haven't paid attention, but I'm not hearing that he's hitting two homers a game. So, yeah, you won two out of three against Toronto. Toronto's really not the scariest team. I don't think this team has a chance at taking the division, not with Baltimore here. Sorry, not happening.
Terry, over to you.
I had the Yankees out of the playoffs. I may end up being wrong on that, but as far as them winning the division, I'm still going to call the cops. I just don't trust the division. I don't trust their rotation. And I still think there's a lot of sustainability concerns with Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton. I don't think you're going to get much out of DJ LeMahieu at this point. So can Anthony Volpe step up and kind of live up to the hype? That kind of remains to be seen. Alex Verdugo, can he behave himself? Who really knows? I think Soto is going to absolutely, he might win the MVP, playing in that ballpark. But as it stands right now, I don't think the Yankees will do it. I'm starting to wonder how good Tampa might be with all those injuries and still figuring it out. So we'll see.
It's definitely been a surprising start to the season, to say the least, right? I think the three of us picked Baltimore to win. Charlie, I'm going to ask you to keep us honest on that. I know that you and I picked Baltimore, right?
Yeah, I'm actually looking it up right now because I actually picked Soto to win it all, and I know I texted Terry a picture of it. So give me 30 seconds. I'm loading it up right now. For 2024, AL East, Orioles, for Cody, for Charlie, Terry, we already know you picked the Blue Jays. That's probably looking a little silly right about now, but that's okay.
It is.
I picked Juan Soto. Cody picked Yordan Alvarez. Terry picked Yordan Alvarez as well. So you guys are still sipping the Astros Kool-Aid. Boys, the Astros are 3-7. I know it's only been 10 games, but I'm not seeing old-time Yordan Alvarez lighting up the Christmas tree either.
Just wait. They started slowly last year, and then they closed.
That
well
is true. And you're absolutely right. That is very accurate.
They rolled it all the way to another ring. But, I mean, the Yankees are getting production out of places that they weren't anticipating getting production, right? For starters, Rodon's had a fantastic start to the season. Stroman's ERA is still zero. Volpe, Cabrera, they're both batting over 300. I think Volpe's batting 379 at the moment, and he's, you know, got some extra base hits on top of it all. And we don't even need to mention what Soto's doing to the baseballs in New York, let alone wherever they're traveling. But I don't think it's going to be a sustainable method, right? You know, sure, Stanton's production is down. Judge's production is down. They don't have Cole yet. And, you know, when those reinforcements come back, that'll be great. But can the likes of players batting, you know, well above their weight hold them up until they come back? I don't think it's going to happen. The sustainability of this team, I don't think is necessarily going to work out. I apologize for butchering this pronunciation. The reliever for New York, I think it's like Johnny L something. It sounds like lasagna, but I know it's not lasagna.
Loaisiga.
Loaisiga.
Yeah, thank you. He's already going to go for Tommy John surgery as well. And that was a big piece of their bullpen. And so, you know, the hits keep coming. I think the earliest Cole's coming back is midsummer. That's going to be huge. You're moving everybody up one spot in the rotation. So for me, I don't believe they're going to win the division. So I'm going to call the Cops.
It was a big show for the Cops.
Yeah. Any other tidbits you want to add? Yes, Charlie.
No, I mean, what are we thinking? Who has more home runs at the end of April, Tyler O'Neill or Juan Soto?
Let's see. Juan Soto has one on the year, so Tyler's got him by four at the moment. I think we need to look up the Yankees' schedule before we can make that.
Yeah, let's actually, out of curiosity, who do the Yankees have and how many of those games are at home? So let's look it up right now. I'm really curious. This is another, you know, who's got a higher probability of ripping more home runs in the month of April? Terry, I see you, that little smirk of yours over there. Do you think he's got it?
We're going to rename this the Tyler O'Neill podcast.
Damn right, baby. Let's do it.
All right. So they've got a home series against Miami, away at Cleveland, away at Toronto, home against Tampa Bay, home against Oakland for four. And then away against Milwaukee to round out the month.
They've got a ton of away games. Yeah, so that's just nine home games.
Yeah, I think it's got to be O'Neill with the lead, unless, you know, Soto goes absolutely bananas against Miami and Oakland.
Anything is possible, boys.
I'm giving the edge to O'Neill, man. Your guy's getting the bump.
I know, man. It's pretty incredible, pretty special. I'm excited.
I mean, this would be a fun thing to chase the whole year, because then that means he's playing the whole year.
I mean, for me, it would just be doubly fun to chase because I was the only one in the Tyler O'Neill camp that was like, yes, bring me Tyler O'Neill. And everyone was like, no, he's injury prone. And by everyone, I mean Terry.
Terry still needs to see it. We got to give him the time, right? We got to give him his time.
I need plenty of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
He's going to be playing for the Diamondbacks in August anyway.
Don't do that. Stop.
A one-for-one trade. God.
Perfect fit. He'll be out in that outfield with Lourdes Gurriel, the guy I wanted that Charlie pooped.
I know. Go figure.
They're going to be teammates high-fiving each other.
Anything else you gentlemen want to add tonight?
Nope. Always fun. Always a pleasure with you two.
All righty. We will wrap there. Thank you all for joining us for another episode. Take care.